Do you know the power of the resurrection? Do you know the power of the resurrection? In our scripture this morning, the Apostle Paul says to the Philippian church that his great desire, the aim, the purpose of his life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10 that this is the desire of his whole heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So the question that the Bible asks you this morning is, do you know him? And do you know the power of his resurrection? Now, this is what the Christian faith is all about. This is what life is all about. This is what salvation is all about. Knowing Christ. Knowing him. And knowing him with head and heart. When Paul speaks here about knowing Jesus Christ, he doesn't just mean that he knows facts about him and the story about him. He means he knows Christ personally. He knows Christ's presence and power in his life. He has experienced Christ, the reality of the Lord's love and grace in his heart. Paul also tells us that the real Christianity, knowing Christ, it's not about self-improvement. It's not about rituals and outward ceremony. It's not about ethnic, national culture and identity. It's about knowing Christ, and that you know him as your all and everything. You see, if you look with me at the first 9 verses that lead up to our verse, that's what Paul says to us. That's what he makes clear. That there were some false, erroneous teachers who were troubling the church. And as a group who wanted to remake Christianity into their own kind of Pharisaical image. So they were insisting it was about the Jewish heritage and the Jewish identity and rituals being circumcised. And they insisted it was about self-improvement, self-righteousness, keeping the rules good enough that God will accept you. But the Apostle Paul is saying he has turned his back on all of that. Verse 8, indeed, I count all things, all those other things, as loss. I give them up. Well, nothing to do with them. Because there's something better for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all these other things, and I count them as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. There's still today many who see Christianity and the gospel as just a cultural, ethical force for good, for society, moral rules. Well, there's a lot who preach a gospel of self-improvement. You know Jesus to be the best that you can be and live the most fulfilled life. Well, it's none of those things. Paul says that's all rubbish. True Christianity is something much better. It's about the glory of Jesus as God's Son and that you can know him. As the Lord said to the prophet Jeremiah, let him who glories, who celebrates, who boasts, who rejoices, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. And Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is what it is about. Do you know him? In verse 10, that I want us to focus on, we're told that a very important part of knowing Christ is to know the power of his resurrection. So what does that mean? How can you know the power of Christ's resurrection? Well, the first thing, and it's important to be clear, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has been resurrected. Not in some mythological, symbolic way, but literally. He was dead, crucified, buried. And on the third day, he rose bodily from the grave, never to die again. And it truly happened. It's a real event. If you'd been there in the garden on that first Lord's Day, you would have seen it, heard it. It's the most significant event in the history of the world. He was truly dead. He was scourged with a whip, crucified, his hands and feet pierced. He was hung on a cross to be jeered at and mocked. And there's a horde of witnesses who saw him, who heard him breathe his last, who could see the light leave his eyes, the breath leave his body. The ground shook. The Roman soldiers, who were experts in murder, pierced his side to his heart with a spear. Truly dead and truly buried. Put in a tomb that had never been used before. So there's no chance that he was confused with somebody else or whatever kind of ridiculous, outlandish story people come to try to explain it away. Large stone is rolled across. There's guards there to keep watch. There's no way the disciples steal the body. There's no time for some kind of switch or fake out. And for 3 days, his body is in that tomb. Truly buried. But then also truly arose. The stone was moved. The soldiers fled. Angels announced the resurrection. He's not here. The disciples, who've all abandoned him, I mean, men who were so defeated and crushed, they denied even knowing him to save their own skin. Suddenly, they're all testifying he's alive again. And they've seen him and they've touched him. He's taught them. He's eaten with them. One of the most difficult facts that those who doubt the resurrection must contend with is the transformation of these disciples. They go suddenly from being this broken, demoralized failures of a dead teacher to going out to the whole world telling everyone he's God and worshipping him, which in first century Jews is an incredible thing to say, and declaring he was alive. To the point they all gave their lives for this truth. They were tortured and they themselves were put to death for it. Strange thing to do if you think they just made it up. And more than that, you've got the testimony of God in the Bible. This is the inspired word of God. And the scriptures declare it. Truly raised. He's broken death. He's shattered the curse. And he's risen. And he's immortal. Your Savior. The victorious Son of God. Hallelujah. So, that's the first thing, but to be clear, he truly was resurrected. But then when Paul talks about knowing this, knowing the power of this, he's not just saying that he knows the facts, as I've just briefly shared them. He's saying something much more. He's saying that he has and that he wants more. He wants to know and experience the power of that resurrection in his life. Lifting him up, transforming him, working through him. The power he's speaking about in verse 10 is not just that power on that first Easter Sunday morning. He's saying it's a power I can know now in my life now. And so can you. This power is at work at the start of the Christian life. It's at work throughout the Christian life, through all the trials and struggles. And it's a power that will be mighty at the end of the Christian life, even to take us to heaven and turn death into victory. Do you know this power? It's a power that's there at the beginning of the Christian life. When someone becomes a Christian and they begin to believe in the Lord Jesus and commit to following him and obeying him, that could be a gradual process of coming to believe. It could be a dramatic moment of conversion when God just suddenly grabs that person. But it is not just that that person is intellectually convinced. It's not that they find Christianity attractive and useful and think, well, okay, I'll give that a try. Not in a true Christian. Something much greater happens. What's really going on is the power of Christ's resurrection touches them, comes into them, changes their life, and they are born again. Begin a new spiritual life. They're raised up out of an old life of sin and death, set free. There's a powerful spiritual change that flows into them from Christ's resurrection. If you're a Christian, do you know that this is what God has done in you? What he started to do? It's not just that you believe. There's this power now that's started to come into you. Listen to how the Apostle Peter, and you can turn there if you would like to, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Again, Peter's writing to Christians just like us and explaining what's happened to them. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So here's the big change in the power that did it. He says we are begotten. Old-fashioned word, but it means it's like you've been born again. You've begun a new life. You've begun a new relationship with God as your Father. There's a renewed spiritual life and nature within you. And how has God put that in you? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The risen Lord with his new risen life has started to put that life into you. Or listen to what Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 4. In fact, all of Romans chapter 6 through 8, you can read about this. But there he says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Again, Paul's saying there's something supernatural happens. You are united to Jesus spiritually. And this resurrection life and power comes into you. Or how about Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5? Which is what it is to be a Christian. Those verses say, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ." Made us alive with him. "By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So there's the old you. You're dead in sin. Dead, lifeless, no energy, no power to know God, to relate to God. You're far from God. You're opposed to God. Your heart's just full of your own selfish thoughts. But what happens when you meet Jesus? You're raised up with him. You're changed by this power. And again, I want to stress this to you because I think it is so important. Being a Christian's not just a choice. It's not just a mental conviction. It's not about just going to church and following the tradition. It is a supernatural work of God that comes into your heart. The power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ changes you. You become a new person. New desire, new mind, new hearts. And it's flowing to you. And here's the sweet thought, Christian. This is how closely you're connected to the Savior in heaven. It's from him, the risen Lord. Just as you think of the healing miracles, when he reached out and touched the leper and a power went forth to heal, or the woman with the flow of blood, power came from Christ and touched her and healed her. From the risen Christ, power is coming to you. He's touching you. And again, so much of what is passing for Christianity today is nothing of the sort. It's just outward. It's just culture, tradition, self-improvement. The real Christian faith is about knowing Christ and this power. Do you know it? Do you know what I'm talking about in your life? That you've met him and you're changed. But it's also about the power of Christ at the end of the Christian life. If you look with me again at Philippians 3 and verse 11, Paul says the end goal of his life, what he wants to reach, what he wants to attain in the end, is the resurrection from the dead. So clearly he's using the word resurrection there in a different sense to in verse 10. And in verse 11, he's talking about the literal resurrection of the body. Now, this is the great Christian hope. At the return of Christ in glory, you will be raised just as the Lord was, not as a spirit, as a man. Now, when a Christian dies now, well, our spirit goes to the presence of God. And we have rest and peace in his presence. But the final hope, the end of the story, is even better than that. It's going to be the restoration and the renewal of all things, of all creation. And we're going to live in it with God. You cannot take it in, the enormity of the glory of the kingdom that's coming. At the beginning of creation, God's purpose for us with Adam and Eve, he put us in a paradise to live. He's not gone back on that plan. But since we ruined it, he's worked to bring us back to it. And in fact, to bring us to a better position, where we'll be in a position now where it cannot be lost again, in a final glorified eternal state. And I suspect a lot of people still don't know this about Christianity. And they still just think that eternal life is floating around on a cloud and a spirit somewhere out there. That's not how it ends. It ends with a total victory over death. The reign. And Paul says, that's what I'm looking forward to. And that's the end goal of my life. Now don't misunderstand. When he says, if at all possible, that doesn't mean Paul doubted it. In some way. That's just Paul's characteristic humility. He's just saying, I've got to be faithful to the end, like everybody else. I've got to prove myself true. I must persevere. But there's no doubt in the power and promise of God. And again, Christian, that power is coming to you from the body of the risen Christ in heaven. Death defeated. And he will pour out that power so that you share in his risen life. A little later in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul puts it this way. We eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. It's power beyond all our reckoning. And I think most of you know the year I've had with bits of the body falling off and going wrong and whatever. And I'm sure many of you share in that and you go, hallelujah, this is a complete salvation he's won for us. So there's power at the end. And you say to me, how? What if I'm just dust? What if it's, you know, my bones are buried and I've been cremated and all the bits of what my body was scattered? Such is the power of the risen Christ. Doesn't matter. You'll be raised up glorious. And then finally, I'm getting really to the heart of what Paul means in verse 10. He says what he wants to know in that verse is this power of Christ's resurrection in his life now. In the midst of the struggle of being a Christian, he wants to know a resurrection power that's going to sustain him, that's going to carry him, that's going to help him triumph even in adversity. Now, brothers and sisters, what Paul is telling us is that there is a pattern to the Christian life. There's a pattern of death and resurrection. And that's not just the beginning and the end of the Christian life. That is throughout the Christian life. Being shaped and changed to be more like Jesus means your life is going to take on more of this pattern of death and resurrection that's following his own life. There's going to be a repeated pattern of deaths, of death to self, self-denial. You're going to put to death, do away with the old person who was sinful and selfish, and you're going to sacrificially serve others. There's going to be in the Christian a pattern of death through suffering and loss, of being made weak in earthly and natural things. God is actually going to be stripping things away from you. There's going to be a pattern of deaths in suffering persecution, being rejected, hostility. But through all these kinds of deaths, the resurrection life of Christ will come into you and take its place. You'll know more and more of this life as you go through this pattern again and again. As you know more of the death and weakness that Jesus knew, you will also know more and more of the power of God in you. For example, if you would like to turn there, the letter of 2 Corinthians has so much to say about this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, says this about himself. You'll see the pattern. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Now, Paul's saying that he was going through persecution, and he was sick, and he was in poverty, and he came to a point of feeling totally defeated, that he couldn't go on. He says, this is it. This is the end. It's like the sentence of death handed out on us. But then look what he says. It was so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, whom we trust will deliver us again. So in that moment of weakness, he experienced the resurrection power of Christ. And God saved him in an impossible situation. He was given fresh strength and power to go on. And he had a confidence that power would continue to work through him. Then if you turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here again is the pattern. He says to the church, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We who live are always being delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul's saying this was the pattern to his life. As he was going through severe trials and suffering, God was using him to bring the gospel to many others. He was experiencing something of what Christ went through. Trials, illnesses, suffering, attacks of the devil, persecution. And in the midst of it, God was sustaining him. And there was a manifesting of the power of Christ that's greater than all of these things. And it was working to bring life and salvation to many others. I mean, Paul traveled across the known Mediterranean world, and so many people heard the gospel and were saved. Where did that power come from? Well, as he got weaker, there was more of the power of Christ coming through him. Paul says it again at the end of this letter, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. He says, though he, Christ, was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live by the power of God toward you. Do you want to know the resurrection power of Christ in your life? Then it's going to mean deaths, dying to self, dying to sin, having many weaknesses, having God discipline you and strip things away and make you weak. It'll mean going through persecution. But through those deaths, the power of Christ will be in you and working through you. Now, if you turn back to Philippians 3 and verse 10, Paul says the same thing. Because actually there, in the original Greek, it's all just one sentence that flows together. He says, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship or participation in his sufferings. So the two go together. The suffering and the sharing in the power. Christian, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to serve God in this generation? Do you want to bring others to a saving faith? Christian, do you want to glorify God and love your neighbor, make the world conformed more to God's will? Then here's the pattern. Deaths of self, but resurrection power from Christ will work through you. There's a pattern of being made weak. But what you can expect is resurrection power from the risen Christ. Perhaps you might be going through some kind of death experience now. A trial or a tragedy where you think, this is the end. And I can't see the way through it. I can't see the answer. I can't keep going. Christian, God has brought you to that point so that you will learn not to trust on yourself, but to trust in him who raises the dead, who can do the impossible, who can sustain you, who can turn it all to good. Put your trust in him. Do you know Christ? Do you know the power of his resurrection at the beginning and through and at the end of the Christian life? Are you willing to suffer the loss of all things? Are you willing to endure crosses and trials? Then you may know the power of the risen Christ. May God give us the grace to say like Paul, I long to know him and the power of his resurrection. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we fall down before you. We are amazed by your grace that you sent your Son into this world to save us and to think, Lord, that you would join us to your Son so that his life and his glory and salvation can be shared with us. We pray, Lord, to know Jesus Christ more and more. And we pray to know his power, the power of his resurrection working in us. So please, O Lord, show us how to carry the cross, how to die to self. Show us, Lord, how to die to sin, to put the past and the old behind us. And please, Lord, fill us with his new life and power. Work through us, we pray, to bring your salvation to others. Please, Lord, conform us to this pattern of death and resurrection. And we pray, Lord, that we would know your power at work amongst us, to the glory of your name. Amen.